Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
For you, Mickey, I mean, this is, year two represents a whole different set of challenges for you. I mean, when it's the first year, you kind of maybe get the break of being a novice at it. But now with so much work being put into the team, do you feel like that there's more pressure on everything you need to do this year based on the expectations?
I think there's always pressure. You know, David, I think, and we all welcome it. I think there's pressure on everybody in every organization to win, and that's what we want to do. We're gonna do everything we can every day to win, and when you try and do that, there's pressure. So, you know, bring on as much pressure as possible, and we're gonna deal with it. I think in my second year, I absolutely learned a ton, and I experienced a ton, and I think that's probably the most valuable thing, is just going through it, going through the ups and downs as a manager. You know, I've been through the ups and downs as a player, mostly down when I was playing. Been through a lot of ups as a pitching coach, very few downs. And last year I got a lot of experience on both and in a totally different role. So I think that the pressure is welcomed, and I'm going to be better suited to handle things on a daily basis because of my experience last year.
Ken Dave, Buccaneer Post. Mickey, following up on that, was there one or two lessons that you found to be the most important? And was there anything you could do over the winter to sharpen your managing skills?
Ken, yeah, there was a ton that I thought about, that I reflected on, that you know, I got to sit down with my coaching staff. I got to sit down with Brody. You know, I got feedback from everybody I could. People that are no longer in the organization, I reached out to them and asked them, you know, what I could do to be a better manager. And I think if I take that approach, you know what, let me correct that. I know if I take that approach that I always am looking to get better every day, that, you know, you're going to get the best product. And that's how I go about my business, and that's what I feel is very important in any job, and I'm looking forward to year two.
Were there one or two things, biggest takeaways and specific lessons?
You know, I think, like we talked about, experience is going to go a long way. I now understand from a manager's standpoint how people react to wins, how people react to losses, losing streaks, and to be better at handling that the next day. You know, everybody handles it differently. They're not going to handle it like I handle it. So I have to be prepared every day to come in and help facilitate whatever they may need. Another thing is, you know, I got to talk to Jim Riggleman at length, and still am and still will every single day. And the one thing we talked about, you know, I walked him through some of the moves that I made last year, and he stopped me 4 minutes into my explanation of the move, and he goes, "See how long it took you to explain that? Like, you're never going to be able to explain everything." And he said, "Don't overthink it." And I think going into the season that, you know, I'm going to make sure that I'm more cognizant of that this year.
Ed Coleman from WCBS. Mickey, you know, you talked about the changes or corrections that you want to make this year. You're going to try to have as versatile a team as you can, and different guys playing, and the lineups may change a lot day by day. Do you have to do a better job of keeping on top of that with the players to explain things with them?
Ed, that's going to be our biggest challenge in my mind. And what we've done so far is we've been talking through a process to make sure that we're on top of that as much as possible. That the guys that should be playing are playing. The guys that aren't playing are going to understand why they're not playing. We're going to have meetings, you know, as far as we can in advance with whatever matchups we have to, you know, talk through what our lineups are going to be, because it's going to be very diverse. We have many options at many different positions, And we have to make sure that the players are communicated with daily on those things and give them a heads up of where they might be playing so they can get work in the previous couple of days at whatever position they might be at. Because Lowry's going to play some second, he's going to play some third, he may play some short, and he's going to have to, you know, hone in on his skill at each position. And he needs a heads up. It can't just be the day of, hey, you're going to play short today, and he hasn't taken any ground balls. So we're going to be on top of that. We've got a good process in place. I'm sure that process will continue to improve as we get into the season. But we have to be diligent about that, and we have to over-communicate, if anything, on what the lineup's going to look like. So it's going to be a challenge. It's going to be a fun challenge. It's you know, we have very good players in every position, and not just the front line. The second line coming in is just as good. So we're very confident that we're going to get all these guys playing time that they deserve. And the game just naturally takes care of playing time, you know, as we see throughout every season. Things happen, and I think that that'll take care of some of it, and the rest of it is going to be on us to be diligent and be thoughtful in how we're using our guys.
Like, you just kind of piggybacked before about the lessons you learned last year, but I guess now, just even being here, where do you feel more comfortable, I guess, in certain aspects of the job, maybe today when you show up, than, you know, more this year, last time?
I think knowing what to expect every day, that's what I was alluding to earlier, that the experience of it and how things are handled by each player, by each member of our team, you know, our staff, is going to better prepare me to deal with people personally on a daily basis. And, you know, my biggest job is to communicate with the players. And if I have to go communicate with them about why they're not in the lineup or this is what we're thinking, and I don't understand the frame of mind they may be coming in, it's going to be harder to do. And I think I have a little more information about that this year because of the things that we went through last year.
Mickey, Joe Mussiri, Pix 11 News. We spoke to Edwin Diaz earlier today, and he seemed really excited to be here, a part of the team, a little different attention. But he said he worked twice as hard this offseason because he wants to prove himself to his new teammates that he's ready for the job. We're on day two of spring training here. You've got 162 game season ahead of you. How do you kind of ease guys into it that are new to the team so that they can feel more comfortable and not hurt themselves this early in the season?
Joe, I think with a guy like Edwin, you have to let him be Edwin. He's going to pump his fist when he gets a save. He's a high-energy guy. You saw the smile, I'm sure, when you were talking to him. We had our one-on-one with him earlier today, and he was all smiles. He is a terrific kid, and he's a young kid. He's going to soak up things from Familia. He's going to lean on Robinson about New York and what to expect, and he's going to go out there, and he's going to throw the ball very hard and have a nasty slider, and it's going to be really fun to watch. I think our fans will definitely embrace this guy because he's high energy, and you have to let him be that. And he's going to go out there, and he's going to throw really hard in his first outing, and I'm fine with that. We're going to monitor the number of outings that he has. I think we're going to try to get him around 10 outings in spring training or so. You know, that's usually what a closer or someone in his role is going to get. And he's going to be ready to go. He's excited, like you said. And even more than that, we did 25 one-on-ones today. Multiple people of all, you know, service time levels in the big league said, I can't wait to watch this guy pitch. You know, with the starters, I can't wait for him to come in after me. And the relievers were like, I can't wait to see this guy in action. So there's not only excitement on his part, but his teammates' part. So that's a really good thing.
Mike Puma, New York Post. Mickey, do you see Juan Lagares as your starting center fielder right now, or is this a situation where Conforto or Nimmo can play center and you can do some different? How do you look at this thing?
Mike, I think it's we have outfielders that can play multiple positions, and we have some really good defensive outfielders. I think that a lot of that is going to depend on who's pitching that day. You know, the good thing is that we have the ability to put guys in late in the game that are quality defenders. We have the ability to start guys that should be starting against the opposing starting pitcher and have great defense with the good bat. So I'm really excited about all of the outfielders that we have and all of the multiple options that we have.
Anthony Tacoma, MLB.com. Your GM has been pretty outspoken this winter about kind of saying that you guys are the team that people should be chasing in the division. Do you share that sentiment? Do you feel that way? And maybe why or why not, considering what some of the other teams have done?
We are here to win. That's the bottom line. We want to win a championship. I think one of the things that stands out to me in my career was I got traded over to the Anaheim Angels in 2001, in the winter of 2001. And I came from Tampa Bay, who struggled. The Angels weren't that great of a team. They were kind of a middle-of-the-road team in 2001. And I arrived at spring training the first day, and Mike Socia is standing up in front of the team talking about winning the World Series. And, you know, coming from Tampa Bay, I was kind of like, well, this is interesting. You know, we were just, you know, trying to get a hit or two over there in Tampa. They want to win the World Series here. And sure enough, we won the World Series in 2002. Everybody believed from day one. And that's what we believe here. You know, we shouldn't be here if we don't think we're better than everybody else and we want to win. That's not the way to go about this thing. We want to come to the field every day energized that we are going to win everything, every game we possibly can. We're going to win every bullpen we throw, and we're going to be ultimate competitors. You know, I think that the group that we have in there, I'll take them over anybody, and I'm excited to go to war with them this year.
Tim Healy from Newsday.
Tim.
Going back to Edwin, what were your observations of him as a pitcher from whether you saw him in person or any tape you watched since acquiring him?
I believe I saw his debut. When I was with Cleveland, he came in, electric fastball, electric slider. It was scattered a little bit early, and then I got to see him again. I think it was maybe a month later or so, and you could really see this kid start to narrow down that spray chart a little bit, and all of a sudden you're looking over at the other coaches going, man, this guy's going to be something special. And here he is, something special about 4 years later, or 3 years later, whatever it is, and it's electric. He has the ability to miss bats. He has the ability to do the things that it takes to close games, and he's had a lot of success doing that. So I'm excited to get to be around him every day. That's the one thing that I hadn't had the chance to, just watching across the field, is you always wonder, okay, wonder what this kid's like. Is he a great kid? That's the first thing you ask opposing coaches when you're interested in their players, and you just say, hey, what kind of guy is he? And this guy's a great kid. I mean, there's no buts about it. He is an amazing guy. You'll see him every day with a smile on his face like Rosie. And he just wants to play and pitch, and he wants to win more than all. I mean, he told us that in his one-on-one today. I want to win a championship. And that's his ultimate goal. And if everybody has that same goal in the room, we're going to be in a really good spot.
Jeff Passan.
What's up, Jeff?
Mickey, what, if anything, are you expecting from Yoenis Cespedes in 2019?
I expect him at this point just to keep on working hard. He's done a great job with his rehab. You know, I got to see Yo this morning and just talking to him throughout the offseason. He feels like he's on track, and that's all we're really worried about at this point. I would love for him to come and impact the club like he has done in the past and contribute to our success late in the season. And, you know, that's kind of where I'm at right now with him and our ball club. He's a tremendous talent, and we'd love to see him come up and hit some homers.
Tim Britton with The Athletic. You mentioned maybe not overthinking things as much this year. How does that kind of manifest itself? What moves might you take a different approach to this year than last?
That's a tough question, Tim. You know, I think it's just, you know, as a ball game's going on, you have a ton of options, and your mind is way ahead, two or three innings ahead. And when you're two or three innings ahead, that gives you two or three innings to think about, oh, well, maybe I can do this as well. And I think sometimes, you know, I tend to be a deep thinker. And it's fun for me to sit there the whole game and think about what's going to happen and then, you know, how I can use my guys. And I think it's like taking a test. You know, when you know something, you know it. And don't start questioning what you know. And I think at times I had some time to stew over things and maybe just tried to make it a little more complicated than it really is. And, you know, I think at this point in my career and who we have in that room, we can play some a little bit more traditional baseball than, you know, I was trying to think about last year. You try to get creative to help your team win, and that might not always be the right way. It's obviously a process that is very complex whenever you're doing anything because so many parts and so many things can happen. But, you know, I'm excited about the personnel in that room. They're going to make it easy on me this year, that's for sure.
And then to follow up, what was kind of your reaction when you're having that conversation with Jim and he says, you know, this is a little too complicated, maybe simplified?
I was already thinking it when I was explaining it to him. You know, I was like, man, this is taking a long time to explain, you know. So we're on the same page. We've had great conversations so far. He's such a knowledgeable baseball guy. I can't wait to get in the, you know, in the dugout with him and kind of go back and forth on what we should and shouldn't do.
Mickey, Mike Fitzpatrick, the Associated Press. What is your biggest concern on day one for this team going forward?
Mike, at this point, I don't have one. I've been so focused on what our guys can do and how good our lineup is going to be and how good our pitching staff is that, you know, and having one-on-ones with all these guys and how positive they all were, I don't have a big concern at this point. I think we were talking a little bit about playing time and making sure we get that right. I think at this point, if I really thought hard about it, just making sure that process is tightened up so nothing slips through the cracks.
The Mets really amped up their analytics department this offseason. How do you expect those numbers and those trends to impact how you manage games on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, welcome to the beat. You're the new one, right? Analytics are very important, and they are very important because everybody's analytics department is different. And everybody's analytics department is going to say something different, whether it's a matchup, evaluating a player. That's why it's so hard to make trades, because everybody, you know, values their players differently. And it's because everybody values different information. And the way our Mets analytical team creates matchup numbers for me has input from myself, from Dave, from our coaching staff, from all of our analytics members, and that number is going to be way different than our competitor's number. So to have the best analytics department you possibly can that is has as much support as it can is very vital to us, you know, in our decisions and having confidence in those decisions. You know, Brody did a great job of expanding that part of it. He had the support of the owners to be able to do that, to allow us to do that. And I am very confident in our analytics department at this point. We have had great dialogue. We've collaborated on everything. And we have some really good guys in that room, you know, coming up with some pretty good stuff. So I'm thrilled that we expanded a little bit. We have support now in the dugout that's going to help us further break down some of those numbers so the coaches can use it. And Luis Rojas, who is our quality control coach, I think that's going to be a valuable addition to our coaching staff. And I'm really excited about it.
Anthony DeComo again. You mentioned kind of getting into the nitty-gritty of the playing time and some of the guys. What kind of conversation have you had with Jeff McNeil since you've been here over the winter, and where do you see specifically him getting the bulk of his reps?
I've had a lot of conversations with Jeff, not only about what we foresee for him, just about his comfortability in all aspects of the game. Jeff McNeil is a very confident player. He shows that at the plate. He shows it on defense. He showed it at second base. He's shown that to us in the outfield. He loves the outfield. And most of his at-bats, you know, if everything stays like it is today, are going to come in the outfield position. And he's very excited about that, talking to him. He's working really hard on getting to a spot where he feels very comfortable out there, and we're going to get to see him playing a lot out there this year.
Hi, Dave. I think you discussed Riggleman a couple times now. When his name came up, was there any hesitation or anxiety on your part? Just because he has such a deep managing history a few times as an interim manager. Did any part of you do it as a threat?
Ken, no, I don't think so. I want to surround myself. Brody wants to surround himself. Our players want to surround themselves with the best people in the business. And to do that, you have to go get the best. And Jim is a longtime, very experienced manager, and we are lucky to have him, and I'm lucky to have him next to me in the dugout. So there's no threats there. I'm excited to have his knowledge sitting next to me in the dugout.
Mike Fitzpatrick again. last year on this day, you know, you had just taken the job. The previous front office regime had brought in several pieces to fill some holes. And you were sitting up there and you said, if we don't do something special this year, that's on me. I mean, this year, you know, it's a different regime in the front office, but they brought in a lot of pieces to fill holes and make the team look pretty good on paper. A lot of things can go wrong over the course of a long season, but, I mean, do you feel the same way going into this season?
I'm always going to feel like that, and we all know that's the case with the manager. That's the position. That's what is expected, and I'm on board with that. That's part of the pressure that we were talking about earlier, like bring it on. I'm going to work diligently every day. I'm going to work tirelessly to support and, you know, I think that it's a good thing.
Dave Lennon from Newsday. Thank you. How much of a rooting interest do you have in the Mets getting something done with DeGrom before opening day? So that's not something either your ace has to worry about or you have to worry about or anybody else on the team.
Being a manager, I'm worried about all of our players and their well-being and how they come to the park each day energized and willing to do everything they can for us to win. And I can tell you this, so far, Jacob came in, he was coming in before throwing bullpens and then driving back home, and since he arrived, he's Jacob DeGrom. He's the same Jacob DeGrom last year that was going out there and throwing 8-9 innings and with a smile on his face coming off, even though we hadn't scored any runs. I think Jacob DeGrom is not going to let anything bother him. He's in a really good spot. So that's really what I've been paying attention to is how is Jacob DeGrom today? And he's been fantastic.
Making Matty Galt with the Bergen record. Do you look, is Vargas your fifth starter as of today, or do you look at that as an open competition for the final spot?
I think at this point, the way Vargas pitched at the end of the year when we got him on a regular schedule, he's our fifth starter. This guy was an all-star in 2017. If he would have had a regular spring training last year, we would have seen a different Vargas the first half. Once he got on that regular schedule, that starter schedule that a guy like Jason Vargas really needs because he has to execute pitches and he has to execute almost every one of them, he pitched great and he would be – he pitched better than a lot of guys, 3 and 4 starters in that second half. And he was an all-star in 2017. So at this point, who Jason Vargas is, what he's about, he is one of the best professionals I've ever been around. And Dave feels the same way about this guy. This guy comes to the field every day to win, to get better. He's in the dugout every pitch, paying attention to everything that happens. And a guy like that, when he is in a good spot mechanically, physically, he's going to pitch well. And our goal this spring training is to get him locked in mechanically, locked in physically, because the rest is going to take care of itself, and he's going to be a great fifth starter for us if all those things happen.
But just at this point, does Peter Alonso have to win the first base job, or does he have to lose it for somebody else to get the job?
Mike, he has to earn it, just like everybody else. Everybody in camp has to earn their way, and I don't think they want it any different. I hope they all come in feeling like it's theirs to lose and that they have an edge over everybody and have that confidence that they can go out there and play first base or third base or shortstop and know that they're the best one in that position. But they know that they have to earn it. And I think that's the way we built this team. I think it's going to drive players to be the best they can possibly be. Look, we have a lot of winners in that room over there. We have a lot of grinders in that room. You know, you look at some of these guys' career, they grinded it out, they won. And this is the way winners and grinders want it. They don't want to be handed anything. They want to have to go out there and earn it, and that's what we expect of each one of them.
Thank you, Mickey.
Yep, thanks, guys. See you soon.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.